And under the heading of Life is a Two-Way Street, here's a guy who I always say, man, sugar beet growers are so grateful to Dr. Mohammed Khan for the great research he provides so that they can keep growing bigger, better crops. And Mohammed, you just right away come back and say, yeah, but they adopt what you have to say, and you're grateful for that.
Yes, it puts a lot of responsibility on your shoulder. So you have to make sure what you tell them is correct. It's a lot of responsibility when you have a $5 billion industry, total economic activity. You have to make sure as a researcher, you're unbiased. And then once you maintain that repetition of integrity, if something works, you tell them it works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And it's a great relationship with the growers.
But that's science. That's the way science works. Everything is researched. I guess that's why they call it research, because you keep doing it over and over again. It's researched.
Until we get a correct answer, and then, yeah. Then we find another problem to go tackle.
Yeah. And what has been the biggest problem in sugar beets, growing sugar beets?
For the past several years, the major problem has been Cercospora leaf spot. And we just talked about the weather. We love when it's sunny, when it's warm, when we have adequate amounts of rainfall. Once the weather is good for a good growing sugar beet crop, guess what? It's also very good for Cercospora leaf spot. It's a fungus. It likes it like most of us like to go Florida during the winter time. This fungus likes it when it's warm and when it's wet.
Like August.
July and August.
Yeah.
Exactly. So when it's good for sugar beet growth, it's also good for Cercospora infection. And this disease impacts the leaves. It goes to the oldest leaves first, which are the most productive leaves. It infects them. And when those leaves are killed, the plants want to survive. So what do? They produce new leaves. Mm-hmm. And they have to get energy to produce that new leaves. This energy then comes from the root of the sugar beet plant, all that sucrose that was stored up there. So your tonnage goes down, your quality becomes poorer, so you have less recoverable sugar per acre. Now, we've done a lot of research, and we've done lots of work also with the breeders, because it's not only us who do the research. The breeders have done a phenomenal job to give us better genetics. But we have increased our yield by about 50% in the past decade. With that comes some other issues. They have to have resistance to not one, but about five major diseases. So you have to get a commodity, a crop that will produce sugar, high tonnage, good quality, resistant to numerous diseases, and still be able to fight the pathogen when it's warm and wet and you're trying to produce sugar. So we have a number of fungicides that work, and we have to use them as concoctions in mixtures because the fungus they're so numerous. Imagine 1 acre will have a trillion spores.
Wow.
The only other time you talk about trillion is when you're talking about the American economy.
Yeah, or the number of spores from sneezes in airports.
Yeah.
Or maybe.
So when you have those large numbers, the thing is about this pathogen, it multiplies very rapidly and they're very diverse. So they are able to overcome the fungicide after a time, so to develop resistance. And because of that, we have to always be ahead of the game and use fungicides which have multiple sources of action, what we call multi-site fungicides, and combine those with the more site-specific ones to protect those site-specific ones so we can control the disease and do not allow them to develop resistance and have a resistant population.
Yeah, and that's more of a problem...
Especially in the south.
Okay, but in sugar beets more than, say, corn and soybeans?
Yes, they do not have that particular problem.
Yeah, well, again, so you research all this, but again, the seed companies have really come through genetic-wise. We live in a society or a world where we love to take a pill or spray a fungicide to fix the problem, but genetics can play a big role.
Yes, there's only one downside. The greater the level of resistance you try to breed into the plant, the lower the yield becomes.
Sure.
So you have to kind of strike a balance. So we need the genetics, and we need fungicides, and we need a holistic program whereby we look at the whole farm and we say, okay, how can we manage this disease in a holistic manner? So we try to make sure the inoculum from the previous year crops are incorporated into the soil. We go away from last year's crop as far away as possible. We make sure that our seeds do not carry any of the inoculum, and when it's time to spray, we make sure we spray on time.
Okay, a lot of great research done. Thank you for the work you do, Dr. Mohammed Khan, University of Minnesota and North Dakota State University Extension Sugar Beet Specialist. And by the way, one of those two colleges are playing basketball in a tournament this evening.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. You know, most people know about the NDSU's football team. They're learning more now about sugar beet, and they're learning more about our basketball team. We've been to the big dance before. Now we're not only going to be dancing, we're going to be dancing to win.
All righty. Thank you, Mohammed Khan. Thank you for all the work you do.